I'm really excited because here we are. It's the fall. We're ready to go. I love the change of seasons in the summer. The pace changes up a little bit, which is really nice. But, you know, this is what we're all about as a church as we kick off the fall, to have the program starting up, the number of kids that we have coming through the doors, to be able to do what we were, well, what we're here for. To make a difference in the community and in the world. And this season, these first 3 weeks of the fall, our theme is going to be, you were born for this, in terms of our sermons. And what we want to talk about is living out this life that God has given us and calling us to together. There's nothing more important, more exciting than that. I want to invite you right now to pray with me as we consider that, as we look to God's word. Lord, thank you that we were born for a purpose. And thank you that by your Spirit we are born again. We can be born anew to your purpose. And we pray that by your word and by your Holy Spirit, we might actually live the life you've created us to live. That we might actually do what you have created us to do and be the presence for good and for your glory in our world that you intend. We thank you for the glimpses that you give us of that along the way, for the joy that is ours when we find ourselves participating with something that goes beyond ourselves and does make a difference for good in the world. And we pray, Lord God, that this fall, more than ever, by your Spirit and by your word and with the encouragement of one another, we might live to your glory. We might live for good in this world. So guide us now, inspire us now. Do whatever it is that you alone can do, that we might live the lives we were born to live. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as I've been thinking about this theme, this image keeps coming back to me. A friend of mine who had a dog that loved to, well, pull a sled. You know, he's a dog musher, this friend of mine. He had a husky. And when there's snow on the ground, the husky just loved to pull the sled. But, of course, there wasn't snow on the ground all the time. And so other times of the year, the dog would start to get anxious and just not be as happy. And so he decided to try something one day. He took the dog out in the backyard, harnessed it up to a log, and said, go. And the dog started dragging this log around the backyard and just came alive. I mean, this is what he was born, bred to do. The dog was just so happy doing what it was bred to do. And, of course, that brought joy to my friend to see the dog happy. You know what that's like with a child or with a dog or with whatever it is when you see them doing what they were born to do? For me, I've shared this with you before. One of the things that always makes my heart sore is to see an eagle soaring in the sky. My wife has to remind me every now and then to drive the car because I'm like, oh, my breath is taken away. See these beautiful things just doing what they're created to do. I had some friends up on the Inland Passageway up toward Alaska just a week or so ago. And I didn't know they were doing this, so I texted them about something I needed information on. And they were texting me back. And just while we were texting it, they saw orca whales swimming alongside the ship. And so they took a video of it, and they texted it to me. And again, my breath was taken away, as I know theirs was. A friend of mine on Facebook who I know from years ago, he's a fishing guide during the summer up in Alaska, and he just posted on Facebook a few weeks ago of a humpback whale, you know, 40, 50 feet long, huge, that breached right next to his fishing boat and came splashing down, and the wave from the boat, or wave from the whale just splashed up over the boat. And he said, I've seen lots of whale stuff up here in my time. I've never seen anything like this. It just took my breath away. The Bible teaches us that this is what happens when we live out God's purpose in our lives. When we do what we were born to do, it takes our breath away. It'll take other people's breath away. This is what the scriptures tell us. That when we live the lives that God has created us to live, the intention is that the principalities and powers of heaven and of earth, and that the people of earth, that their breath would be taken away. They say, oh, God is real. God is good. Glory to God. You see, we were born for this. The scriptures are clear. We were born to bring glory to God as we bring good to our world. We were created. We were born for this. The problem is that God created us for this, and we made a different choice. I mean, this is the story all the way back to Adam and Eve. That rather than living to the glory of God, living out our created purpose, trusting God and saying, okay, we'll live as you created us, we wanted to be God ourselves, to go our own way. And we became enslaved to our sin and to the work of death in our world. Hard as we try, much as we try, we find that we continue to fall short of the glory of God, the good purpose that God has for us. We know this. As individuals, as a society, we work so hard, we try, and yet we find that our greed and our selfishness, our self-centeredness gets the better of us. We remain enslaved, and death has its way in our world. And so the good news is that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to come to us, to come to this world, that we might be saved from this death, from our enslavement to sin, that we might be, as Jesus puts it, be born again, born from above. We need this new life in Christ. It's the only way. In fact, the word salvation in the New Testament doesn't mean you go from here, bypass jail, and get to heaven, just in case you're wondering. Salvation in the New Testament does not mean you get to be who you've always been and yet do it forever. Salvation in the New Testament means you die to your old self, to your enslavement to sin, to the ways of death in our world. We die to that and rise up to new life in Christ. Salvation in the New Testament means health. That's literally what it means. Health, wholeness, fullness of life. Not life as it's always been. It's something new. We're born for this new life. And so how is it that we get to this new life? How do we attain such a new life? There's probably no verse in the Bible or three verses that get at this more clearly, more concisely than what Paul the apostle writes to the people in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So how do we get to this salvation? How do we attain such a salvation of health and wholeness and fullness of life? The scriptures are very clear. It's by grace. It's by God's work. You can't get there from here in your own work. No matter how hard we try, we continue to fall short of the glory of God. That's our experience, isn't it? Again and again, we fall short. But what God invites us to do is to trust the God who loves us so much that he came to be with us, to die for us. When we join with him, we too die with Jesus to our old self. As we trust in God's love, as we trust in God's grace, it's the only way. And maybe there are some here this morning who you've been trying hard to be the person that you know you were created to be. Maybe you're trying hard to prove to God that you're worthy of his love. Maybe you're trying so hard, and today you need to say, I give up. I'm going to die to my striving, to my trying. And I'm going to say thank you. Just say thank you, Jesus, for loving me as I am. Forgive my sin, my fallenness, my falling short. Forgive me And help me, God, to die to my own striving and to rise up to the new life that you create me anew in Jesus to be. By the Holy Spirit of God, we can accomplish that which we could never accomplish on our own. Dying to our old self and rising to new life, to the fullness of life that we were created for. So the way to get there is by trusting in God's grace. That God's grace is sufficient, that God does love you, that he will help you. What does that salvation, that fullness of life look like? What is it that we're heading for? I love the way Paul puts it here. For we are what he has made us. Now, what he's talking about here is not the first creation, not when we're born from our mother's womb. I mean, we were created for this, for God's glory, for sure, for love. But what Paul's talking about here is when we put our faith in Jesus, when we've been born from above, we're created anew in Christ Jesus for, well, here's what it looks like. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. Can you say that with me? For
good works.
If you're wondering what this new life in Christ is supposed to look like, it's supposed to look like
good works.
It's supposed to look like
good works.
Oh, that. You mean it's not just I get to go to heaven? You mean it's not just that I get to feel secure and happy? No, it means you were created for good works. You get to be a part of the flow of God's love into our world. It's like the fruit on the vine that Jesus talks about. When we abide in Jesus, when we find our life in Jesus, we bear good fruit in the world, good works in the world. You were born for this, born anew in Christ Jesus for this, to do good. And we know that whenever we participate in that, we know that God is glorified, and also we feel more alive than ever. Do you know that? Have you experienced that when you're a part of something good happening in the world? When you actually make the right choice, a choice that's for good at the workplace or at school or wherever it might be, when even when it's difficult, you say, I'm going to stand up for what's good and right. I'm not going to get involved in the negative. I'm going to do good, how you feel good. I mean, science is teaching us this. That when we serve, we actually encourage ourselves. We become more alive. When we love, it's hard. It's painful. We get let down. And yet when we love, we know that's what we were born for. We're born for this. To live to the glory of God by doing good in our world, by bearing good fruit in our world. As we head into the fall right now at Salem Covenant Church, our theme for this year is go. You know, go and serve, go and bear good fruit. Let's not just be people who are connecting with God, not just be people who are growing as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, but let's make sure that we're practicing that go part of our mission statement, going into the world to serve and to love in Jesus' name. And we need everybody to join in with this because together we'll live to the glory of God better, more fully, when we're all in it together. I think of what's happening right now on Wednesday nights, our Awana program. Sunday school right now, our numbers just keep on burgeoning. We've got more registration. We haven't started Wednesday night. Probably all of you are pre-registered that have kids. But what we've found is many people don't pre-register. And we have far more pre-registrations right now than we did this time last year, and we're likely to get a few more people coming in at the last minute, coming in Wednesday night and the following Wednesday night. And I know Hannah and Katie are just a little bit nervous, because although over 80 of you, 80 people in our congregation have already stepped up to volunteer to help out to make these programs go, can you believe it? We still don't have enough. That we really need people who are just willing to sit with some students and listen to them as they recite Bible verses to us, just to love them, just to be present with them, not to necessarily be the big teacher up front, but just to be with our kids, that we need more people to step up. The harvest is amazing. It's plentiful. I mean, honestly, people in our neighborhood, in our community are saying, have you seen what God is doing? It's taken our breath away. Do you see all these kids coming through the door? The harvest is plentiful, but the honest truth is that, well, we still could use some more laborers. And so I want to invite you this morning to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers to come into the harvest, to be a part of this. And I want to invite you to talk with Hannah, talk with Katie Garretts. If you could even give, maybe you can't give every week, but you could give some week, some Wednesday night, some Sunday mornings to helping out. This love, by the way, is sacrificial. It takes commitment on our part. But you know, I know the joy that is ours when we push ourselves beyond what's convenient and comfortable and we participate in something that's greater than ourselves. And what could be greater than passing on the new life in Christ to our children and our children's children? God, help us to step up to the challenge, the opportunity that we've been given. I mean, this is the reality in our world right now. I'm concerned about all the people in Houston and in Florida and the Caribbean where these hurricanes are just causing great devastation. Where in Africa, so many children, the leading cause of disease and of death is the lack of clean water. We can do something about this. We can be a part of good in the world. I look at our society and the divisions and the tumult that's just wreaking havoc on us. And I think about the Apostle Paul's words in Romans. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with, there's that word again, good. We can do this. We were born for this on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings. We were born for this in Houston and in Florida and the Caribbean and in Africa, here in our neighborhood, in the midst of the racial and ethnic divisions, in the midst of the political strife. We were born for this, born anew in Christ. Am I getting carried away? I care. I long for the church to rise up, for us to rise up. And I'm so delighted to be part of a congregation where you're doing this. We are, really. I can't tell you the joy that I experience on this Sunday morning as we kick off the fall to see so many working on our kickoff Sunday, the choir singing, our worship team. The list goes on. You were born for this. And this year, more than ever before in our lives, may we rise up to live the new life in Christ that we have been born anew to live. Will you join me in this year, this month, this day? Would you pray with me right now? I would just invite you to ask God. The answer won't come to you immediately, but Lord, what is my part in living out this life, this fall, for your glory and for good in our world? Let's pray together. God, thank you for the glimpses of heaven, the tastes of glory that we have along the way. Those moments, those seasons, those times where we find ourselves participating in good for your glory in our world. God, as a church, help us to live to the praise of your glory. As individuals, as families, help us to live to the praise of your glory. When people see us living our lives, when people see us fulfilling this mission, this ministry you've given us, by your power at work within us, may it take our breath and the breath of others away And we simply say, glory to God. Thank you. We commit ourselves, God, right now, again, into your hands. By your Spirit, may we live the lives we have been born in Christ Jesus to live. We pray in Jesus' name with thanks. Amen.